Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. Hey little sister, what have you done? Hey little sister, who's the only one? Hey little sister, who's your Superman? Hey little sister, who's the one you want? Hey little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day to talk wrestling. Hello, I'm Michael Hanflett from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers from What Culture and Andy Murray from What Culture to turn this regular weekly car crash into an even bigger one and discuss all that's gone on in wrestling this week. But before we get into that, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We interview Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, more wrestling roundtables, and a discussion of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. And I've not completely lost my mind trying to fill Will Bond's shoes. Phil, I'm talking about Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins getting married, we think, we assume.
Genuinely took me a while there because you were singing it, and all the way through I was like, why the hell is he singing this? And then right at the very end, it's like, oh yeah, they got married.
It was like, sort of, I was thinking for nice wedding songs, I was like, wow, it really is ages before he says wedding in this song, but I've committed to it. I've kind of got to stick with it. It was playing in my head. They've got married, we think. That was what Seth said online. That's about as much as we've had yet. That was as much as we kind of got in the news. But like, with this last bit of relationship admin done, marriage, babies, more importantly, does this mean we can finally start looking forward to Return of the Man in WWE?
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? There's been a lot of teasers over the like last few months, like some teasers way too early for her to return, really. But we've seen all the pictures of her working out, the rumours of her being at SmackDown, was it? And training at the Performance Center and things. It seems to be slowly ramping up and like maybe we're going to get there. And I really hope she gets back at some point soon, because the women's division on both brands needs a huge shot in the arm, and she will be the one to kind of bring this.
Yeah, I remember just before she left, and like myself and the fellow Daddy Michael Sidrick and Murray, we kind of enjoyed truck stuff jokes at Becky's expense. But is it fair to say, Murray, that like this division, as Phil notes, and WWE in general, is in need of like one of the last great stars they actually created to come back and bring some of that momentum she had before she walked away?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think like, you know, the truck stuff and kind of the diminished coolness of Becky Lynch a little bit towards the end was probably just a consequence of her being in the same place at the same time for too long in a company that has 40 different writers, DTV backgrounds. But yeah, I mean, like things aren't particularly good for women's wrestling in WWE across the board, really. I mean, Raw is really egregious when you think of who's at the top of that division. You think you've got Asuka, Charlotte Flair, and Rhea Ripley. It's like you should be able to book the best women's division in the world, really, around that free and supporting cast members and people coming up and down and stuff. And you know, they've literally missed an open goal. The feud, the Ripley Charlotte feud, should have been so easy. You beat me last year. I'm not happy about it. I'm going to get my win back. It's really easy. Why do they both have to be heels and fight Nikki Cross for 2 minutes? And now there's a superhero and they're dancing on tables. What's likable? What's going on? And yeah, they haven't done a particularly a great job in maintaining Bianca Belair's star power since WrestleMania either. So it desperately needs somebody like Becky Lynch somebody who, aside from the truck, has been largely immune. And, you know, the Seth Rollins romance stuff on TV wasn't good either. But beyond that, she's been kind of immune to bad writing and everything else. And I think that now she's been gone for over a year, there's such a huge clamor. You go back to her taking the time off, and there was people in like January going, hey, what if she shows up in the Rumble? And it's like, brother, she gave birth 4 weeks ago. I've got a biology article here for you to read. But, you know, the longer it gets, the more realistic it gets. And she had her fun taking the piss out of all of us ahead of WrestleMania with the night one, night two stuff. So we need her. Everything needs her. I think the first SmackDown with fans seems like a realistic starting point for me.
Yeah, like just a wrestler that sort of seems perfectly placed to be one of the most to benefit from the return of the audiences as well. It's somebody that like people haven't really had the chance to get bored of in this Thunderdome era. She pretty much disappeared at the start. So it's like the timing could have got perfect. And obviously many happy returns from all of us at What Culture, genuinely, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. More nice news from that household, which, you know, it must just be nice for Seth to get those kind of notifications on his social media apps rather than the ones he probably wakes up to most Saturday mornings. Murray, myself and Phil did the SmackDown preview this morning. We're talking about Seth Rollins' ex-Shield mate Roman Reigns and his upcoming headline match with Edge. I guess linked to Becky Lynch potentially returning crowds, WWE have kind of pulled out one of the best possible insta main events they had for the first big pay-per-view back with an audience.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? I think it's a bold move. They kind of benefit because the pay-per-view is not far away. It's what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So it's like you only have a couple more episodes of TV to go. I think it's a bold move because this program was really, really flat before Daniel Bryan was added to it at WrestleMania. So I would hope that the writing team have looked at what failed with that and why Edge wasn't resonating particularly strongly as a hero until certain other people got involved and learned from it and come up with something a little bit better. And the angle went over really well on SmackDown this week. It was extremely well received. I saw nothing but praise for it when I woke up on Saturday morning just before I watched the show. So it's a great one to have for, you know, what is like, I hate to call Money in the Bank a B-level pay-per-view, but it's not a big four pay-per-view. So no. Like, B plus pay-per-view. It's a great one to have. It's another kind of legendary figure for Roman to knock off. You know, we hear all the talk of your John Cena's and your Brock Lesnar's and your Rock's. Edge is a good guy to have in that kind of hierarchy. And I just hope they're able to maintain the fire for longer than they were last time. Edge, the character does need some retooling. A gritty old guy who just is back and is so determined and is a CrossFit dude now. It's not as engaging as when he was, you know, the most charismatic man on this entire show pre-retirement. So looking forward to seeing what comes of it, but I am a little bit trepidatious.
I think Edge, I will say this, for what we anticipated would be a huge response for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, Edge got most of it. I think having like some fans in attendance, they were clearly still pleased to have him back. And maybe what we've perhaps taken a little bit for granted, because almost all of his comeback's been in the Thunderdome or in the empty PC, is that loads of people want to pay tickets to see Edge because they never thought they'd have a chance. And I guess even though he's been back over a year, that's still, you know, that novelty still exists now that the audiences are just filing back in. Phil, from the little dog on your lap to the big dog of WWE, Roman Reigns, Edge's Money in the Bank opponent, sort of inadvertently declared himself the best wrestler in the world in some comments on a podcast. That's not meant as inciting as I think that might sound, or indeed like the headline might be. I think it was, you know, partly in character, but certainly partly just a genuine confidence as well. What do you make of those remarks and the fury it's set to generate over the upcoming days, surely on the typically toxic wrestling discourse?
I think he knew exactly what he was doing in riling up fans and calling himself the best wrestler in the world. I think he's earned this position at the top of WWE, absolutely, with the amount of work that he's put into this current run and this character and this storyline and the care that he's put over it. But at the same time, like the whole thing sounded like it's kind of that in between the line of going full kayfabe, like your actual like personality. Yes, he's like this confident guy behind the scenes, but then the little bits of the kayfabe, like the head of the table kind of character seeped into it, and the sort of cocky arrogance that kind of comes with that. But yeah, he knew what he was doing with these statements. He knew it was going to get people talking, whether they agree with him, whether they disagree with him, it's getting people talking about him. And that's surely the entire point.
Yeah, I think like it's one thing to be obviously on WWE's highest rated show and be this major star within that world. But who knows how big that world is at the moment. WWE's numbers across the board have generally slipped. It often doesn't feel like there's much buzz about this product other than the Roman Reigns story, interestingly enough. You can listen to more on that, by the way, with myself and Andy Murray on a podcast that's dropping this weekend, not just about Roman Reigns, but about other candidates, I guess, for people that could be considered the greatest wrestler in the world. Some of those come from AEW's roster, of course. They had a pretty substantial and quite important Dynamite this week. It felt like a return to the form of old after a kind of a difficult month of these shows being shunted to a Saturday. Murray, what were your, you do obviously ups and downs for the What Culture website. What were some of your prevailing thoughts of this sort of almost Daily's, I know they're back in August, but this Daily's Place finale, certainly one they pitched it as. They were kind of, wrestling has a tendency to do this. They were sort of drawing a line under the pandemic a little bit, but really what they were saying was, this is the end of our time in front of no fans. We're going back on the road. It was all incredibly sweet. If you've seen on Twitter, somebody's put the Creed music over the top of it. And I was a broken man watching that on repeat at about midnight last night. But yeah, like quite a, this felt like almost like a B-level pay-per-view Dynamite for AEW, even though it wasn't one of the branded ones.
Yeah, it was. I was going to say they didn't put the music they chose for the video package wasn't quite butt rock enough for me, so I hated the whole. No, it was a vast improvement on recent weeks. Just from start to finish, complete. Just rewind to what the show can be at its best. The past month has been really rough. Like, I know we've heard the, oh, well, they're just waiting till crowds come back and, you know, they're in a holding pattern and all this stuff. And there's maybe an element of truth to that. But at the same time, I don't think there was any real need for that degree of slump. I don't know if we needed to have so many shows with so lacking in like marquee matches and, you know, we've got vehicle destruction segments and, you know, other sports entertainment trappings. And hey, here's seven interferences. It was quite disheartening, really. Because, you know, Dynamite, when you know, we watch it on a Thursday morning or whatever, when you wake up, it's a nice little shot of adrenaline. It's usually a popping wrestling show. It's energetic. It's dynamic. It's everything else. These ones just kind of, they weren't awful shows, but they weren't giving me any kind of positive vibes, put it that way, aside from the odd, you know, Kenny Omega versus Jungle Boy here. It was a good show this week, really good show. I did not like at all the Britt Baker deal with Vicky Guerrero and Rebel and everything else. But aside from that, it's kind of hard to look at any major flaws in it. It was bookended by two excellent matches, Eddie Kingston and Penta versus the Bucks. And what on earth was the main event? MJF versus Sammy Guevara. It feels like that match in particular, the main event, could be a nice, hopefully a writing point for the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, which has kind of been one of the worst things about this past month or so. It restored a lot of faith in the process for me. It was a joy to watch. Hopefully this does signal the return of, you know, these energetic, fun shows. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this show looks like on the road again. I've almost forgotten it's been so long. And the video package was incredible. It was just tremendous stuff. I mean, if you don't feel something when you see Negative One in his suit with the TNT title, you might want to check that you're still human. Daily's Place was, Lord knows where this company would be without Daily's Place available to them. I don't think that they'd have sustained their momentum as well if they were doing it in QT Marshall's gym all the time. The aesthetics are very important. We saw that with WWE in the Thunderdome. As soon as they moved from the Performance Center, it was like, oh, people are interested again. Okay. I've rabbited on and on and on here, but in summary, it was a good show, yeah.
No, I think, like, worth laboring on Daily's Place, because I could say it was a mix of luck and good judgment, wasn't it? Because it's one thing that they had this venue on the side of a lovely amphitheater on the side of a football pitch that was theirs, but the fact that it was inside outside as well, of all the things that could take over the world, it was something that you couldn't be inside a place with a roof on. So the fact that the building had no sides to it was kind of ideal for what they were doing. Certainly it felt marginally more ethically sort of approved than WWE sending them all to a gym without testing them or whatever those horror stories were of this time last year. The Daily's Place video, obviously, like, again, brought up a lot of like real and nice pro wrestling emotions. Phil, what kind of was some of your sort of prevailing memories of, I think we can all sort of safely agree, was probably the best version of pro wrestling during the pandemic. AEW came closest to mastering this crowdless pandemic wrestling. What are some of the highlights in the Daily Place era for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just going back through that sort of 15 months, it's kind of insane how many like moments to fit into that within the 15 months and within sort of a pandemic era. And it's not until you sort of see a video package like that and you go back and you go, oh yeah, like all this loads of stuff that did happen. And it has been actually quite good. But I mean, you've got to go back to like Stadium Stampede right at the very beginning of it all, when we all desperately needed some kind of pick me up and escapism from what was going on at the minute. And that just came at such a perfect place to just bring a little bit of joy into people's lives. And I think that's going to be the sort of standout thing from that sort of venue as a whole. But yeah, the video package itself, absolutely fantastic. All getting all the John Huber stuff in there is just really, really nice. And it's just a nice package in general of just like, look, guys, like we've done this over the last 15 months. It's been hard at times, but we've got through it and we've got some great memories. And now let's all join together and go back out on the road and do some bloody good wrestling.
Yeah, I think as you say as well, Murray, like it's easy to forget what normal crowd shows look like. Even these Daily's Place shows with fans, everything still feels a little bit like a compromise. Love this. Arenas with four walls and a roof. And yeah, there's fans everywhere compared to like one side or split chairs or whatever, things like that. God, he's a lunatic, man. Like, I'm like, I've got a little bit of a fear of dogs. I've made that no secret on podcast before. I'm a little bit scared of this Zoom call. I think is he in your house or is he around my ankle?
Shut up. He's in the house, but someone's outside. Shut up. Come in here. Hey, Salty. Come on.
I felt like nipping at my legs while that was happening. Are you sure he's not on me? Is he on me? This is one that like might have flew under the radar a little bit this week, such as the lack of conversation and buzz around NXT sometimes, but it's more what it represents, I think, than anything else. Bronson Reed, in a great match against Swerve Scott, lost the North American title in something of an upset. It was a match announced on the night. But the kind of the bigger takeaway from that was that Reed, along with Karrion Kross and Scarlett, separately, hilariously, had tryouts on the main roster or in the Thunderdome or whatever version of that is. And it feels like Bronson Reed is possibly going to be making the jump. And that is why they've taken the belt off him, not with the person he was feuding with, and rather quickly and in this impromptu fashion. And it's led, obviously, people to believe that he's going to be gone, along with Cross and possibly Scarlett. And could this be a return to the format of old? The idea of your NXT favourites going to the main roster never to be seen again. Obviously, that has some pros and cons because you get guys in the most tightly booked of the WWE products suddenly appearing under the pencil of Vince McMahon. But it could be a benefit to NXT as well. There's felt like a bit of a logjam at the top of the card over the last few years. Murray, what do you make of this like seeming return to the mold we had pre-Wednesday Night Wars?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like on a creative level, there's a real need to freshen like the top level of the NXT card up. I'm not sure moving Bronson Reed on is a weird solution there. That's a strange one because he doesn't feel anywhere close to like stale or anything to me at the very least, but maybe someone on the main roster has just seen something they like in him and he's very talented. So it's entirely possible. But it does feel like they're engineering his exit. And this isn't a slight on the wrestlers, but your Johnny Gargano's and your Adam Cole's and Kyle O'Reilly's, these guys are extremely talented, but they've been there playing the same role for years now, years and years and years, very similar roles. Gargano's turned heel and Cole's turned heel and face and everything else. But for the most part, I've seen them described as the NXT version of The Miz. And it's kind of true. Yeah. They're obviously very skilled, but you want things freshen up. Like the appeal of NXT always was, oh, look at this new wave of young up-and-coming people. But in the main event scene in NXT in particular, it's this kind of revolving door. It's been that way for a while. You've had people like Keith Lee come in and Karrion Kross and mix things up just a little bit, but only just a little bit. So I sincerely hope so. I sincerely hope it is, because there are people training at the Performance Center who I'm sure are TV ready and could do a great job. They've signed loads of people this year already, dozens and dozens, that are waiting to be brought in. And we've seen some new faces come through, you know, your Sarays and your Zoe Starks and various other people. But the thing I always go back to is the, you know, you see the Triple H comments on these investor calls talking about it being a third brand and all of this stuff. And it is, it, you know, needs to draw ratings basically to ensure they get another TV deal at the end of this one. So I'm always a bit apprehensive of saying that, yes, this is going to be a big change. They're going to send everyone up and they're going to bring a new breed through. I'd love to see that. I think that'd be very exciting. But I do feel like we're going to see them continue to lean on some of the veterans on that brand at the very least.
Yeah, that trip, it's funny you mentioned the Triple H investor calls. He was kind of like, he was so flattened by various questions that were coming his way in the last one that he kind of made up old takes to like inform his own argument. People always used to complain about guys cycling off NXT. No, they didn't. Oh. Like, you've completely invented that, Paul. We really missed that. Phil, you're the kind of resident Johnny Gargano lifer in the What Culture offices. Not just Gargano specifically, but Gargano and his ilk. How would you feel about them being made to swim in the shark-infested waters of the main roster versus kind of like staying forever on NXT? I'm more in line with Murray's thinking, strictly because I don't want a tire of these guys, and yet I've found myself kind of getting like bored of all of them. Like, what's your take on Gargano, and especially considering that it looks like he could be the one possibly to take this NXT title of Karrion Kross, but like he's one of several that you could do with seeing get a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when Gargano first went in, I was very, very excited because I was a massive fan of him from like Evolve and Dragon's Gate USA and stuff. And so I was really excited for him when he first went to NXT to see what he'd do in NXT, but at the same time, terrified of what would ever happen if he did go up to the main roster, because he's not a very large man, let's face it. And we know what Vince likes. But that was back when he was facing like Andrade and like the early stages of Tommaso Ciampa and all the DIY stuff and things like that. And that was a really long time ago now. And yeah, like we say, he's been there for a long, long time. And we talk about all the time about the main roster needing new faces and needing a bit of a change and like a bit of a mix up. And it's not just the main roster, it is NXT as well. Like, I think putting Finn Balor down there was a great shout for when they first went to TV and things like that. But even like a Finn Balor position should probably be a rotating position. Like, put Finn down there for a year or two, like help out the new crop, bring a bit of like name value down to NXT, but then maybe swap him out for like a Kevin Owens or something like that. And like just continually rotate. They do it on Raw and SmackDown with superstar shakeups and the drafts like every year, maybe not to the extent that you might sometimes want. But there's nothing like that for NXT. And even in the drafts, NXT hasn't been included for ages now. So I think they're definitely at a point where things are getting a little bit stale. There's definitely room to bring up new people from the Performance Center. Obviously, now they've got rid of a huge chunk of the roster through Raw and SmackDown and NXT and 205 Live and every bloody thing else in WWE. There's space for people to move up now. And I think we just need to start rotating it all a little bit, not just on Raw and SmackDown, but through NXT and through the guys in the Performance Center as well. Like, NXT, the whole point of it originally, maybe not so much anymore, was that it was developmental. It was getting people time in front of the cameras to learn the sort of WWE way so they're ready when they do get called up to Raw and SmackDown. And if they just stay in the Performance Center and just like eventually when NXT goes back on tour, like they'll get all the new people on the live shows and things like that. But if you don't get them in front of those cameras, they're never going to learn that side of the business, which, let's face it, especially in WWE, is such a huge side of the business. So you need to start rotating these things. And otherwise, sort of the joy and the appeal of all of these sort of our favorite indie guys going to NXT, it's just going to start to sour when you just realize that it's just the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think that there does seem to be like a general consensus take on that as well, no matter how much you like the guys. It's this endless thirst for new faces in like WWE system, especially because the system is so rigid. At least when there's different people in there, it feels different for a bit.
And you've got to say as well, like, when as scared as you might be for like your favorite guy to go up to the main roster, like there are still moments when it does work. Obviously, there's a lot of times when it doesn't work, but you've got to give these guys a chance to sink or swim. You've got to throw them in the deep end just to see what happens. Like, where would Kevin Owens be if he never got his shot on the main roster? Like, Sami Zayn, if he never got that match against John Cena or whatever, like, you've got to chuck these people in there to see how they do. Otherwise, then they will never progress as characters and performers.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I mean, yes, you've given me a perfect segue there, because in terms of progression as performers and indeed a new face, we weren't expecting one of those to be Otis's without a beard. And that has now extended to getting rid of that long hair as well. An aggressive like look alteration and aesthetic alteration for Otis. Phil, as our long-standing SmackDown correspondent, will you tell me that everything's going to be okay with the Alpha Academy, please? And they've not just made a physical fool of Otis yet again for no good reason, because I'm getting increasingly worried that he's going to be on this like next list of names on another dark day.
I honestly don't think I can. I've no idea what they're doing with the Alpha Academy. When it first happened, like, well, for one, it made no sense because he was in a perfectly good tag team before that you just happened to break up for no apparent reason and then get rid of one of the guys also for no apparent reason after drafting them and never having a payoff. Makes no sense. But then you put him in this tag team and you're like, okay, Heavy Machinery is great, but that's gone. Like, look at what we've got here in front of us. We've got two very talented guys. We've got someone really entertaining in Chad Gable that can make all this sort of goofiness like work. Like, you don't want to put him on that level, but like early Kurt Angle, like the sort of goofy side in the promos, but then could still back it up in the ring. And you're like, okay, maybe we'll get some good like vignettes and backstage things of them training, and it could be some really entertaining stuff leading to like an eventual tag title run. And then you got like maybe one vignette on SmackDown. You got a couple that were WWE.com exclusives. You got some good stuff in there with Daniel Bryan when he was trying his best to put them over as much as he could. And then you kind of got nothing, and you got the same old WWE doesn't give a crap about tag teams booking when it actually came to the matches, and just 50-50 wins and nothing ever meant anything. And then they turn heel and you're like, okay, right, something else. Let's like something else. You can put a bit more emphasis on this and you can move them forward. And I'm just not sold yet. I think Otis is like, he's made the sort of physical change in the way he wrestles. Like, he's got that aggression that they always talk about and things. So like, there's something there, and Chad Gable kind of willing him on through all the bad stuff that he does, like that again could still be really entertaining. But you've always got in the background, WWE doesn't care about tag teams, and look at the tag team division, there's like 4 teams, and that's if you're including the Usos at the minute, which aren't exactly within the tag team scene, even though they had those couple of matches back. And it's just, until they get more tag teams in the division to actually make it a division instead of a couple of teams, and B, put some emphasis on the storylines and actual some direction to it, I just can't put my faith in it yet.
It's a new look Otis will always have a place in my heart, because after 16 months, a bit of a personal aside, I was able to have like my first day in the new What Culture offices just yesterday. And one of my prevailing memories of that day will be Andy Murray going, "Hey, Hamflet, look at this." And it was just a picture as we sort of recoiled in shock at Otis chopping his locks with his shaved face. We're like, Jesus Christ, what's happened? Now, Murray, yeah, as much as we were shocked by this yesterday, his heat's already gone, because Otis could come out tonight, frankly, with green hair. He could come out in Nikki Cross's superhero outfit, and it wouldn't make a difference, because tonight could be the debut of Happy Corbin.
Yes, it could. What a great reason to tune into WWE SmackDown tonight. Happy Corbin. Man, what a ride they've taken this guy on from his early days as a greasy receding hairline biker guy to coming up as the main roster as a greasy receding hairline guy. Becoming a Constable Corbin and getting publicly blamed for all of WWE's modern failings. And then he wins King of the Ring and he's a dog food guy for 2 years. And now Happy Corbin. I am absolutely fascinated to see what this is going to entail. Adam Nicholas speculated when we did the news video that it was going to be an Adam Sandler golf gimmick. Sure, I would be here for that. I mean, if stealing a hat and stealing a water pistol constitutes a gimmick for Ricochet, then golf can constitute a gimmick for Happy Corbin.
Have you guys seen the WWE .com exclusive video they put up with him?
Is this him sulking in the backstage area because he's lost his crown?
Yeah, but he's like, he talks about how he's like lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in investments and how he like used to be a wealthy man, but now, and then he just kind of goes quiet and puts his head in his hands. So the explaining away that weird bit of the, oh, Baron Corbin was really rich gimmick. Now he's just a poor man who's lost loads of investments and lost his crown and lost God knows what else.
His crown. I used to be the king. Literally, it was weird.
Out of the royal family. Oh no. What are they going to do here then? If he's so down on his luck, is this going to be like a really uplifting mental health storyline where
maybe I don't need money to be happy. Like money never brought me happiness, but you know what does. Ice cream sandwiches or something. Finally bring back the ice cream sandwiches and it'll be Baron Corbin's face.
Switches with Bronson Reed, goes to NXT and wins the $1 million title on his first night. I'm back! King's back! Happy Corbin, Shorty G, Wobbly Walrus. Hey, Fox, thanks for your $1 billion. Never tired of them being the preserve of SmackDown in particular.
SmackDown undercard's got a lot to answer for at the moment, hasn't it? Between Happy Corbin and weird Otis. I don't know. Who knows what's going through these people's heads, man.
Look, we've reached the peak of the wrestling week. And if I know anything from listening to hundreds of Adam Wilborn's introductions, it must be time for a hashtag bloody good quiz. However, I understand that the jingles actually only exist in his head. They're not actually played out live. I've never heard one in the flesh before. So we don't have a jingle this week, but we do have a piece of feedback to sponsor this week's Bloody Good Quiz, which is going to be provided to us by Phil Chambers. Wilborn, I understand, has just taken to going to whatculture.com and finding the nearest ones he can.
But having people send him them. He's just given up entirely. But I have gone out there and I have found us 10 questions, and I can tell you this, it's a bloody good quiz.
Well, it has been... this quiz will be sponsored by a big fan. It's John NY Bunch of Numbers, who's given us 1 star with a review titled "Too Much Focus on Bashing WWE." I don't know where he would get that from. We were just full of praise for Happy Corbin. Like, come on, big happy John NY Bunch of Numbers. He says, "I've been listening for years, but the anti-WWE talk is nauseating. The only thing worse than watching Raw is listening to the review the next day. You guys used to be great. Sadly, that's changed." Thanks, John NY Bunch of Numbers. Enjoy Happy Corbin tonight. Enjoy Otis with his shaven face, teaming with the former Shorty G. Thank you very much for the 1 star review. We're so popular that it hasn't even knackered the algorithm, so 1-0 to us. Anyway,
I love how within that as well, he's bashing us for being negative about WWE and then proceeds to be negative about WWE, saying like the only thing worse than Raw is you guys.
Positive about something he doesn't like. Shouts to you, John. Hope you're having a good day.
He's definitely listening. He's definitely listening. So thank you for that, John.
Oh, me.
So yeah, the quiz, right, it came off of an idea from last week's Wrestle Culture, but I have been going through loads of the old WWF magazine personality profiles.
Ooh, okay.
And I have a quiz based on these. So just normal format, like shout out your name, whoever answers first gets to answer, blah, 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 blah. And it's all just for fun, like Wilborn says. So... each question is about a different wrestler and a different personality profile. But you've got to think this is back in what sort of mid to late 90s. So it's okay. That kind of era of wrestler. So that's the kind of mindset that you need to be in. So the first one is about Shawn Michaels. And I want you to tell me which one of the following is Shawn Michaels' secret talent. Is it A, acting? Is it B, football? Is it C, dancing? Or is it D, chicks?
We were both waiting for like staring at your hands, right? That was
amateur dramatics. D, chicks.
It is not chicks. Oh. I can say chicks was actually one of his hobbies.
Of course.
Sorry, he actually listed his hobbies as chicks, hanging out on his boat, and lying in the sun with chicks.
But like, no chicks on the boat. He's very clear about that.
No chicks on the boat.
Can I have the options again, please, Phil?
You can. Is it A, acting, B, football, or C, dancing?
Well, it's not bloody acting. Jesus.
I've seen his post-2002 run, so it can't be A. But then again, I've also seen him dance, and it's only Vince McMahon that, like, pops a stalk for that one. You know what? I'm going to go dancing.
Dancing is the correct answer.
Nobody would move so badly, but with that much confidence without thinking they were good at it.
I can also say his other secret talent was being a great cook.
Oh, okay.
Is that C-double-O-K?
acting was also the thing he'd do if he wasn't a wrestler. It's a good job he's a wrestler.
Yeah, that legacy's right there.
Question two. So this one is all about Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Oh. This is pre-DX, pre-Triple H. So which one of the following is not one of his hobbies? Is it A, fast cars? Is it B, fine dining? Is it C, being himself? Or is it D, women?
The click, man. Hamlet. Being himself.
It is being himself. Being himself was actually listed as his greatest thrill in life.
Oh, wow.
That's never changed, has it? Just look at him. Like, every day he wakes up, yes, I'm still me.
Screw you, Nick Khan, I'm still
He also listed his favourite sport as women playing polo.
Somebody tell Stephanie this.
Question three. So this one is all about Val Venus.
Oh, wow. To be honest, I don't know what would be worse, current day Val Venus or porn
star. This is true.
Shout out to the alcoholics amongst us.
I will say, before I say the question, the border around his personality profile was just a bunch of purple sausages.
Of course.
My surname rhymes with what? A penis.
So I want you to tell me, what is Val Venus's secret talent? Is it A, karate? Is it B, having sex? Is it C, video games? Or is it D, carrying a dozen donuts with no hands?
Andy, D.
It is D.
Slotting them round his pinner. Is that what he's doing?
Now we know where the Brandon Krispy Kreme came from.
Are we talking the ones with the cream in the middle? That's terrible.
American pie, but it's just a donut bloodbath.
Big Valbowski's coming for your bakery, boy.
I can say that both karate and having sex were listed as his hobbies.
Oh, God.
Karate?
And he doesn't play video games because he doesn't play with joysticks.
He knows what he's doing. He means his cat. I love the idea of like Mark Henry's donut order arriving and then the boy's just playing hoopla with him and Val Venus before he gets there.
Nice donut. I know what to do with that.
Question four. It's 2-1 to Hamlet. So question four. This is The Undertaker, but there's a little bit of a twist on it because it's as told by Paul Heyman, because they couldn't get the Undertaker to answer the questions himself, it seems. So I'd like you to tell me The Undertaker's favourite hobby. Is it A, building caskets? Is it B, engraving tombstones? Is it C, competitive grave digging? Or is it D, Dungeons and Dragons?
Wilborn would know if it was Dungeons and Dragons, wouldn't he? That's his own secret talent.
But, I mean, this is a coin flip. If you have a three-sided coin, Andy, competitive grave digging.
It is not competitive grave digging. That was actually his favourite sport.
Oh, poor God. How could I forget?
I want to show what his favourite sport was, because every time you see him on TV, he's always wearing some team colours, but it's always blue. I'll go with A, I think.
Building caskets?
Yes.
It is A. Yes. Engraving tombstones was his secret talent, and Dungeons & Dragons is his favourite video game.
And he's been a lifetime Undertaker fan would pay off eventually. Love the guy. Love him.
What the hell's going on?
What's up with Mark?
Classic. So moving on, question five. It's 3-1 to Hamlet. I would like you to tell me Bret Hart's favourite cartoon character. Is it A, Richie Rich, B, Daffy Duck, C, Droopy the Dog, or D, Elmer Fudd?
Hamlet.
Yes.
I really desperately wanted it to be the version of myself in The Simpsons. However, I love it. Because it's not Brock Lesnar, because he wasn't even on Simpsons. I'll go with Elmer Fudd.
It is not Elmer Fudd. That was actually the British Bulldog's favourite cartoon character.
Happy birthday, Brett. I'm sorry I let you down. Sorry.
So I'll go for the other most morose character on this. Go for Droopy.
It was not Droopy. That was Shawn Michaels' favourite cartoon character.
Or it would have been Val Venus's.
It was actually Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Of course. Rascal. Richie Rich was Hunter Hearst Helmsley's favourite cartoon character, just in case you were wondering. Bret Hart also listed his favourite band as U2. So good for you.
Oh, wow.
So me and Murray. That's good of
always.
Question six. It's still 3-1 to Hamlet. So this is all about Rocky Maivia. So this is pre The Rock. So this is pure babyface Rocky Maivia. And we're going back to his hobbies. So I'd like you to tell me which one of these is not one of Rocky Maivia's hobbies. Is it A, reading quotes? Is it B, cooking? Is it C, working out? Or is it D, light tackle saltwater fishing?
Light tackle's got to be from the Val Venus one. Hamlet. I'll say cooking because he was working in Memphis and they only get to eat raw potatoes there. So
it is cooking. It's actually his secret talent.
Piece of trash.
4-1 to Hamlet. There's still time though. Okay, number 7. 3 questions left. So this question is all about hawk and animal, but this one's a little bit different because they both answered the questions. So I'd like to tell me which one said this, either hawk or animal said this. So who said their person that they would most like to meet was Albert Einstein?
They both strike me as the kind of guys who would have really great conversations with Albert Einstein. Andy, hawk.
It was Hawk.
Hey, get the best promos. There you go.
Animal actually wanted to meet Steven Spielberg.
Fair play.
Animal also listed his favourite food as meat and his favourite fast food as drive-in meat.
Hey, you got to get that protein, man.
Meat just rolls up to the window. Can I have some mince, please?
Cooked? I don't know.
Meat. I love that.
So it's 4-2 to Hamlet. And question 8. This one's for Hamlet, surely. This one's all about Diesel.
Get in.
So if Diesel could have done his life differently, as in like not become a wrestler, what would he have done? Would he have A, become a singer? Would he B, not change a thing? Would he C, gone to medical school? Or would he have D, been a couch potato?
I'm B, Hamlet. I want to say B because before you'd even give me the options, I just thought, if I'm Diesel, I'm not changing a goddamn thing. Like Kevin Nash, Kevin Nash nailed it right out the door. So I don't even know the right answer, but I want to say B because I want it to be true.
It is not B. Murray.
I'm going to say because it falls in line with his general philosophy in pro wrestling, which I admire to the end of the earth. Couch potato.
It's not being a couch potato. Being a couch potato was actually his favorite hobby.
Yes.
That stacks up. Love you, Kev, but geez.
He would have, in fact, gone to medical school, of course.
I would like throw myself off a tree or something to break my leg so I could go into that hospital. Sort me out, Big Sexy.
He also listed singing as his secret talent because he can sing like Robert Goulet.
There you go.
Apparently.
Nice. I think he did a national anthem at WrestleMania once.
So it's still 4-2 to Hamlet. There's two questions left. You can still bring it back for a draw, Mary. So question nine. Here we go. This one's all about Mankind. And this is like Paul Bearer era Mankind. So I'd like you to tell me which one of these is not one of Mankind's hobbies. Is it A, pathology? Is it B, poetry? Is it C, cooking? Or is it D, recreational dentistry?
Cooking.
It's not cooking. Cooking was one of his hobbies.
I mean, the thing is, if I say like our recreational dentistry, it implies that like he takes his pathology really seriously, doesn't it? Like I do, like, picking away at dead bodies. I'll go with recreational dentistry.
It is recreational dentistry. Recreational dentistry was actually his favourite sport.
Oh, God.
How could it be sport if it's recreational, Mankind?
So it's 5-2 to together here. I can also say that he also listed embalming and taxidermy as his other hobbies. Got quite a lot of hobbies, Mankind.
You are a creepy guy, man.
Oh, and he listed his favourite food as chipmunks.
I'm starting to think that that character was maybe a little bit unhinged, guys.
Nearly 5 years working here trying to redress the narrative on the new generation. Phil's destroyed it in one course. Thank you. The guys ate chipmunks and meat.
So it's 5-2 to Hamlet, but it's all just for fun. And I'd like you to tell me, this is my favourite one of all of these reading through them. This one is all about Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I'd like you to tell me Stone Cold's favourite actress. Is it A, Meryl Streep? Is it B, Sandra Bullock? Or is it C, Jodie Foster? Or is it D, he doesn't have one?
Gee whiz. I've read this Austin profile before when it went viral, but I cannot for the life of me remember which one it is.
I'll take a punt.
Okay.
Was he kind of in the middle of trying to like keep the serial killer element of the Stone Cold gimmick alive in this, as well as being like, I don't like anything? I'm going to go with Jodie Foster based on the links to Silence of the Lambs.
It's not Jodie Foster. That was the 1-2-3 kids' favourite actress.
Obviously.
Damn it.
Murray?
I'm going to go for the Michael Owen option. He doesn't like any actresses because he doesn't like films.
Correct. Hey. But his reason was not because he doesn't like films. I will read out his full quote. I don't have any favourite actresses. Chicks can't act worth a spit.
I mean, he says that, but he's not seen the chicks that are forced to hang out with Shawn Michaels.
So congratulations, Hamlet. You know the most about WWF wrestlers' personalities. I had a great time writing this quiz, I gotta say. I do want to read out, actually, some of Stone Cold's thing, because it's absolutely incredible.
Yes, please.
His favourite band, he listened to Slayer before he had to throw his stereo against the wall because a Michael Bolton music marathon came on. All right.
Product of the 90s.
What was the other ones? His favorite athlete is himself, obviously. His favorite sport is there's no other sport besides wrestling where you're allowed to leave a man's arm hanging by a single muscle. So cool. If he could have done it differently, what would he have done? He would have been born without a heart.
How's that going to work?
His favorite cartoon character is Shawn Michaels.
Good, good.
That's a shoot, brother.
His favorite food is anything raw and bloody and hard to chew.
An animal, go and get him doing the meat run.
Has he been hanging out with Mankind and like?
His favorite fast food is I don't eat fast. Stone Cold eats slow and methodical.
God. Oh, really savoring the taste of that uncooked pigeon. Very good.
His secret talent is he can plant a man's head where the sun doesn't shine. How's that for a talent, son? Son is in capital letters there.
It's not a secret, is it?
His favorite video game, I don't have time to play with no stupid Donkey Kong when there are real bleeps that are waiting to be kicked around. I don't know what's bleeped. It's just a bunch of like expletive letters and exclamation marks. And my favorite one, his hobby is driving around in his car while laughing at the homeless people and the 9-to-5 working class bums.
Jesus Christ.
How do you like your taste of a good life, you sacker?
So the Stone Cold character was almost very different.
Christ, I can't imagine that getting over.
Well, I mean, nothing can follow that, can it?
shall we just end the call?
Yeah. Please tell us your favourite weird made-up facts about Steve Austin at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter, where you can find all of us. You can find Phil Chambers at...
Phil May Chambers.
Find Andy Murray at...
At Andy H. Murray, the H stands for... Look, you're not getting... You've already had two from me today. You're not getting... When you enter the third territory, that's when you have to start paying me, listener. Shut up and do your homework.
And you can follow me at Michael Hamflick, where later on I'll be showing pictures of my cooked chipmunk that I'll be having for tea. Thank you very much for listening to this week's Wrestle Culture. We promise Alan Wilborn will be back next week, and we will see you soon.
What you could
wrestling.
Be.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.